Good morning and welcome to Holy Trinity this morning. It's lovely all to be together in church today. It's nice to see you nicely spread out. It makes the place feel full, so that's very good. And keeps the air circulating in a healthy way. We're following, of course, national church guidance here at Holy Trinity, and so just a few things about things that will be different in this service compared to normal. As with last week, we won't share the piece physically, but we'll find a way, as we did last week, to share the piece with each other when we come to that part of the service. Similarly, there'll be no collection plate being passed around, just to, again, help to keep us all as safe as possible. And then when it comes to communion, we're going to stand to receive, because that'll avoid too much contact with the altar rail and that. So please just come to stand to receive, either at the side or here at the front. And again, at the end of the service, because the coach house is quite small, we won't be having tea and coffee, but there will be time to spend. Will be a time we can spend together in church afterwards, if you would like to. For any things we wish to share, any concerns we wish to raise, any questions we have, we'd like to answering. So we'll be here together for a little while in church afterwards, if you'd like to stay. And finally, unfortunately, we've had to cancel the Lent lunch and indeed the rest of the Lent lunches. But it'll be great to have Nell speaking at the end of the service to tell us and remind us a bit more about PCDC. Which was the Lent lunch charity for today. Having given all those housekeeping notes, I think it would be good to say a prayer. So I think we'll say our parish prayer for this time of crisis. So let us pray. God of compassion, we offer up in prayer all who are affected by this outbreak. We pray for all healthcare workers and researchers, as well as all who are ill, and the family members and friends who care for them. We pray for those whose livelihoods and income are threatened by the outbreak and for all living in uncertainty. We pray for wise decisions, increased compassion, and the recognition that all who are affected share a common humanity as children of the one God. We offer our prayers in the confidence that your perfect love casts out fear. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you'll stand, we'll sing our first hymn, number 641, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken.
Thank you.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted. As we remember before God the times when we have fallen from temptation into sin, let us pray for God's peace.
Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness. Make me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from your presence. May God, who sustained our Lord in the wilderness and bore him through his passion, forgive and free us from sin, heal and strengthen us by the Spirit, and raise us to new life in Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose most dear Son went not up to joy, but first he suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The reading from God's Word is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, and this can be found on page 94 of the Common Worship Lectionary. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person. Someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll stay sitting for the singing of the psalm, Psalm 63.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, asked a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well with his sons and which his sons and his flocks drank from?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water, gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Jesus said to her, Go, call your husband and come back. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, What do you want? Or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, Surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, My food is to do with the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have not entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Saviour of the world. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Grant, O God, that through the spoken word and through the written word, we may draw near to your living word, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, I was down on the rota to be preaching today, but naturally I have been wondering whether I should or could preach in light of my fractured shoulder. When I read our text from Romans suffering produces endurance, I thought that perhaps I probably should preach. As to whether I could preach, well, I haven't been able to type my sermon, but I managed to dictate it using my iPhone. I understand that the letter to the Romans was probably dictated rather than written down by Paul, so perhaps I'm in good company. We don't need to look very far to find evidence of suffering in our world. In my convalescence, I have found myself watching or listening to the news far more than usual. Even with all the usual qualifications about media hype, we know that suffering is a real and heartbreaking fact of our existence. Nobody is immune to the experience of suffering. We see this especially now when we face this global health pandemic. None of us is immune. Taking ordination vows and wearing a clerical collar does not make me any less susceptible to getting hurt or injured or being in pain than anybody else. For some people, the great amount of suffering in our world is the biggest barrier to believing in God. It's often said that Charles Darwin lost his faith not because of his theory of evolution, but because of the grief he felt over the death of his daughter. Philosophers have formulated what the problem is. It's known as the problem of evil. How to reconcile belief in a powerful and loving God with the very real presence of suffering and pain in our world. The problem was formulated by Greek philosophers before the birth of Christianity. The biblical tradition bears witness to it in the book of Job. Various attempts to resolve it have been put forward over the centuries. I could envisage a whole series of talks unpacking each of them. But as someone who used to teach this in university, I can safely say that the problem admits of no easy solution. That's not to say we shouldn't grapple with it intellectually, but it's to acknowledge the problem at hand. You may have seen in the news last week that previously unknown letters by C.S. Lewis have come to light, witnessing to his personal struggle with grief after the death of his wife and questioning of his faith after seeing her suffer so greatly. His book, The Problem of Pain, is a theological authority on this topic. But when suffering hits home, no theological study can usually help. His faith survived the questioning for sure, but the questioning was part of his faith. All this goes to show, I think, that when dealing with the problem of suffering, we need to tread carefully. We need to take off our shoes, because we're walking on the holy ground of other people's deepest hurts and fears and struggles and pains. And yet, in all of this, we can speak of a God who holds us, who loves us, who suffers with us, and who brings us through to a place of deep hope and peace. The Apostle Paul, no stranger to suffering and no doubt writing from personal experience, documents a journey from suffering to hope. Suffering produces endurance, which produces character, which produces hope. I don't think we should see this as a simple linear journey. Hope and endurance and character are not bus stops that follow automatically. But each stage may be a place in which we might dwell as witnesses to God's presence. So let's take off our shoes and walk on this holy ground of suffering for a moment. The first stage of the journey is from suffering to endurance. The Greek word for endurance here literally means to stay put, to remain. This has a certain irony for me because I've literally had to stay put whilst recovering from my injury. People across the globe who are self-isolating are literally being asked to stay put as a result of suffering or to minimize the suffering of others. But Paul speaks of endurance not just on a physical level, but also a spiritual level. I checked with my resident Greek expert, who confirmed that an accurate translation of this word could be faithfulness. Suffering produces a spiritual quality of faithfulness. Now, on the one hand, we know this not to be true. As I said, for many people, suffering produces the exact opposite of faithfulness, a loss of faith. But I think we need to look again. There is the faithfulness of the individual who suffers, but there's also the faithfulness of the people around them, the people who don't give up on them, the people who continue to believe in them, the people who surround them with love and prayers and support. Could their faithfulness reawaken the faithfulness of the individual who is suffering? Could their faithfulness mirror God's faithfulness to us when we suffer? And could that offer a pathway back to faith? The backdrop to this passage is Paul's understanding of justification by faith. The idea that we're in a state of peace and reconciliation, the state of being justified before God through faith. Understandings of this doctrine point out that justification can't simply be a matter of our own faith, which can ebb and flow, especially in times of great hardship. Our response matters, of course, but what matters first is the faithfulness of God to us, the faith of Christ, who faithfully followed the ultimate journey from suffering to hope as our crucified and risen Saviour. We first discover God's faithfulness to us, and we receive the invitation to respond in faith. Suffering produces faithfulness, which produces character. I think of character as our true, natural, created self, the core human self, which is found when we strip away all our external measures of status, success, and achievement, which we project onto the world. Suffering often causes us literally to stay put, to be forced to do things differently, and this creates time and space to reflect on our true character. A global pandemic is an especially extreme example. We can react defensively by panic buying and blaming and stigmatizing, or we can react generously by realizing we are all interconnected and that we share a core, frail, common humanity. If suffering creates space for soul-searching and even soul-making, to coin a phrase from theologian John Hick, then in my case, I have discovered a lot about the spiritual quality of patience as I have literally waited day by day for my broken bone to knit back together. I've also discovered a lot about humility as my usually highly independent self has become deeply dependent on those close to me to care for me. C.S. Lewis writes that pain can shatter our illusion of self-sufficiency, and I have certainly realized that. I think we are all realizing that at the moment. Pain shatters the illusion of self-sufficiency. My personality type is one that places a lot of emphasis on action and achievement and success. As with all personality types, there is a good side to this and a shadow side. The good side is that I love to motivate other people to achieve things and to make a difference in the world. The shadow side is that if I'm not careful, I can believe that I'm only valuable or loved or accepted if I'm active and successful and achieving things. Being faced with a long period of inactivity and a different notion of success has been deeply humbling. My biggest measure of achievement one day was my ability to make a cup of tea unaided. But the serious point I've discovered in my relationship with God is one about grace. I am deeply loved and accepted, not because of anything I do or achieve, but simply because of who I am, my core, natural, created self, which God loves and accepts. This is the deep acceptance that the Samaritan woman discovers when she encounters Jesus at the well, and all measures of external worth, gender, nationality, social status, are set aside. This is grace, the grace of God Paul speaks of, in which we all stand. I can think of far less painful ways to have discovered all of this, but I'm grateful to have discovered it all the same. Suffering produces endurance, which produces character, which produces hope. And hope does not disappoint, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Character produces hope, because discovering and growing into our true created character can only happen by the grace and power of God. God's love has been poured into our hearts, and we need to have it poured like streams of living water over and over again in order for our lives to move towards the hope that does not disappoint. It is God's power at work in us that makes this journey from suffering to hope possible. Suffering is holy ground because it is God who leads us through it. Before us is the cross, a sign both of the suffering of Christ and of the triumph over death. The cross is like the North Star that calls us forwards through this pilgrimage from suffering into endurance and character on our way to hope. We heard this beautifully in the words of our collect, that we walking in the way of the cross may find it nothing other than the way of life and peace. The message of the cross is a source of deep peace. As Paul says, since we are justified by faith, the faith of Christ and our own response of faith, we have peace. In a time of global fear and uncertainty, I believe that churches must respond from this perspective of deep peace. We must, of course, be sensible and follow all the expertise and advice of health professionals, but we must not lose hope. Calling for prayer from Christians around the globe, an anonymous Wuhan pastor wrote, "Christ's peace is not to remove us from disaster and death, but rather to have peace in the midst of disaster and death, because Christ has already overcome these things." We may not be able to share this peace by shaking hands, but we can remain confident of Christ's peace dwelling with us at each stage of the journey from suffering to hope. And so may the peace of Christ dwell in our hearts now and for all eternity. Amen.
On page 7, let us stand with all who are preparing for baptism and proclaim our common faith.
We believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the Church and for the world, and let us give thanks for all goodness.
In a moment of silence, let us turn our thoughts and prayers to Almighty God and Christ Jesus, his Son and our Saviour. In today's Gospel story, Jesus' meeting with a woman from Samaria portrays our Lord as the God of all people. We pray, Lord, that as we walk through life, you will teach us how to meet people, that we may see different as ourselves, to be open and welcoming rather than to ignore and show hostility. May we also be like the Samaritan woman, willing to examine our lives in Jesus' presence. Some truths may be uncomfortable, but as this woman was liberated by the truth, we pray this Lent, O Lord, that your truth may be revealed to us, that we may be set free in you. Lord, in your mercy. Let us share thoughts and prayers for the situation the world finds itself in with the coronavirus. We pray especially for the continuing uncertainty surrounding the spread and impact of the virus, both here in the UK and abroad. We pray for the management and relief effort in each of the countries affected, and we pray especially for the individuals who are the frontline health workers as they tackle this pandemic. Lord, in your mercy. As members of your church, we pray for its continuing work here in Headington and throughout the world. Help us, O Lord, at this time to focus on what each of us may have to offer to our neighbour. Help us to use our gifts wisely. Lord, in your mercy. As we look forward to the spring and the emergence of new life, we think of our families and those that are going to be married in the coming months. We think particularly of Aaron John Francis and Jennifer Jane McDonald, Justin Sylvester and Tanya Hutchinson. We pray that their marriages will be lifelong and life-giving. Though the months ahead may be difficult for some, we look forward to having a time to share with those that we love. For those that are tainted with sadness through the absence of a loved one and with stress, we pray for the comfort that we can give and that you may surround them with your love. Lord, in your mercy. We pray, we bring before you, Lord, all those who are in need, those who are in sickness and in adversity. And we pray in particular for Naomi Lawrence, Charles Reed, Helen, Frieda Matthews, Connie Jeremy, Fiona Smith, Liz Berryman, Jeremy Herklotz, Kate Samuel, Mary Jenkins, Paula, Sally Markham, Wendy Carter, Carolyn, Laura, Bill Berry, Anna, Catherine, and Steve. And we continue to pray for Enid Owen. Help us, Lord, to bring comfort to those who suffer and to those that may feel lost. Help us, O Lord, for those that care for the sick and look after those in need. We pray for those who have died recently. We pray for Mark Sarton, Mavis Reed, James Hart, Roger Locke, Sally Hart, Elizabeth Rivington, Dennis Diamond, Peter Hughes, and Daphne Collins. And we pray for those whose anniversary falls at this time. Donald Bernard Jacobs, Joan Hazel Roberts, Frank Greenwood. The departure of a loved one can bring grief and misery for those that mourn, but it can bring a blessed relief for those who have suffered over a long period of time. We pray, Lord, that you will surround these people who mourn with your love and grant all those that have died a share in your eternal kingdom. Merciful Father, accept these prayers.
Please stand for the peace.
Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and we share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you. Let us be reconciled with one another and offer each other a sign of peace.
The hymn is number 238.
Thank you.
When we come to communion, we will receive communion one kind only, just the consecrated bread. Jesus, Lord of our journey, as we walk with you on your path of integrity and truth, sustain us on our way and lead us to your glory. Blessed be God forever. May God bless all the gifts we bring, gifts of money, gifts of time and talents. May God bless all our gifts to strengthen the weak, to guide those who are lost, and to bring peace and justice to our world. Blessed be God forever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and good to give you thanks and praise, Almighty God and everlasting Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son. For in these 40 days you lead us into the desert of repentance, that through a pilgrimage of prayer and discipline, we may grow in grace and learn to be your people once again. Through fasting, prayer, and acts of service, you bring us back to your generous heart. Through study of your holy word, you open our eyes to your presence in the world and free our hands to welcome others into the radiant splendor of your love. As we prepare to celebrate the Easter feast with joyful hearts and minds, we bless you for your mercy and join with saints and angels forever praising you and singing. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends. And taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again he praised you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross, bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation. We proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory.
Christ is the bread of life.
Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favour on your people, gather us in your loving arms, and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, O loving Father, for ever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. God's holy gifts for God's holy people. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Merciful Lord, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we pray together, Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We who the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Sit just for a moment for our notices. Firstly, I published the banns of marriage between Justin Lee Sylvester and Tanya Lynn Hutchinson, both of the parish of the Holy Family, Blackbird Lees. This is for the third time of asking. If any of you know of any reason in law why these persons may not marry one another, you are to declare it now, and we will continue to remember Justin and Tanya in our prayers as they prepare for their marriage in the weeks ahead. This evening, our evening service is, very appropriately, evening prayer with prayers for healing, which Jane is going to be leading for us. A simple service of evening prayer, but reflecting about and praying for healing for ourselves, those we love and know, and for our whole world. Nell, do you want to come and say something about PCDC?
Dear friends, as you know, we have had to cancel the Lent lunch today because of the coronavirus, but I still want to bring to your attention the charity PCDC, which stands for Practical Compassion for Destitute Children. It is one of the three charities supported by our parish. I have been the link person since 2013 and is the only charity operating in Palestine with destitute children. It began in 1996 and was granted charitable status in 1998. The area covered is Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Beit Sahur, Beit Jala, Hebron, and Ramallah. They have a team out there all year round running the operation, and trustees go out to visit at their own expense. I met the coordinator, Reverend Malcolm Jones, when I was staying at Allenmouth Franciscan Friary in about 2000. He is a retired priest who was also a teacher at an approved school for disturbed teenagers. Then in Jerusalem, he got to know some street children, though advised to avoid them as thieves and pickpockets. In South America, he was part-time chaplain to street children. Years later, he was in Jerusalem again and found himself among very poor children. He realized that God was calling him to some kind of ministry to such children, and thus it was. His attitude is that God will provide for the children if they go on with faith. They are based in Newcastle with a small office run by volunteers. All the funds raised go to the children. They used to support about 300 children at a time, but have had to reduce the number because of the falling value of the pound since Brexit started. 189 children are currently supported, of which 92 are orphans. They have to reduce to 150 children over the next 2 years to keep up with the falling pound. Food prices are very high. Malcolm emailed me this week to say that the situation there is not good. Schools are all closed. Medical facilities in Palestine are very poor. They cannot get into Israel now for better help. It is through the schools that PCDC hears about the children who need support. I have an up-to-date list of the schools and the children. One school, Hope School, is the only one that takes children that other schools reject. Sadly, it is carrying a great deal of debt through unpaid fees. Please pray for them, Hope School. The schools advise PCDC which of the children are most in need of help. PCDC then take them on, find sponsors, pay for medical treatment, and see them through their schooling. I have been sponsoring children at only £12 a month for some years. At the moment, I have Tala, who has a most sweet face. She is 12, and I have a photo of her. Others in our congregation here sponsor children too, and I hope some of you will consider it. I have the necessary forms here. There are many wonderful success stories of how children have been able to complete schooling and get further training, then jobs, which would have been quite impossible for them otherwise. There are gift aid envelopes in your pews, and I have further forms if those run out. There is a sort of buckety flower potty thing by the font, which you can put any donation in. Do look at the website. Just Google PCDC and you will find reports from many years. I put up reports too on boards at the back of the church for you to see. One of my ways of raising awareness of PCDC is by peg looming wooden knee cozies or buggy rugs, which help to keep out the cold in our chilly climate. My warm thanks to all those who bought a raffle ticket this time. Now, with eyes shut, I have picked out a winning ticket, and I'm going to hand it now to Rob Grover.
Presidential action.
Yes.
And the winner is 116, which is Becky Nex.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
And his daughter.
Oh, that's very good. That's great. Thank you very much, Nell. Thank you.
My thanks too for my kind supporters who are going to supply you all with beautiful soup. I would like to point out that in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, our Lord Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Our Lord knew and loved these children, the poorest of the poor. Our job is to care for them as he commanded. Our prayers are needed. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Nell. Thank you. And let's stand for our blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look kindly on you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 497. Lord of the Church, we pray.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.